said that Miss Chapman would give you 5 or 10 cents for chores, so you did do some of it, a little bit of it.
Yeah, I'm bad.
And you also said for 5 or 10 cents you could have a lot of fun. What did you do with the money?
Oh, you could take a nickel and a bottle of candy and you could eat.
Where'd you go for the candy?
Mr. Baldwin's store, or Mr. Smith's one of the two.
Did you go over to the Y for movies?
Yeah, back when we was coming up, that's the only movie that was around here. We'd go there a whole lot.
You remember how much that cost you?
10 cents.
10 cents.
Was that a good place to take a girl for a date?
Yeah, just a moving picture. You could take a girl there.
Where else might you take a girl for a date around here?
We didn't fool with girls much when we got up, you know. Never knew what girls was, and we'd go to parties, you know, and proms and things like that. There'd just be a whole bunch of it. That's the way we go to
boys.
Where were these parties? Who held them?
It'd be at somebody's house.
Yeah, different one.
Boys didn't start dating like they do now. The thing is, 14, 15, 16 years old, 17, 40. Got the notion the girl that got up enough courage to ask for.
Well, tell me what else you remember about either the Boggs or the Smith stores. You said your parents lived for a while in the apartment upstairs at the Smith store. Mm-hmm. What was the store itself like?
Yeah, just like the old time store. Mr. Smith, he didn't have as much stuff in it as Mr. Boggs' store. He had everything in his store down there. Mr. Smith, he had all kind of tobacco. I remember the twist tobacco he had on, sacks of tobacco on the counter there. And he had canned goods and things like that, but he didn't have all the stuff like Mr. Boggs had.
Did he have any type of mill operation at the store? Did he grind flour and corn for you?
No, he didn't have it.
When you would go to buy stuff at either the Smith or the Box store, or your parents, did they charge or pay cash?
Papa had a credit account. Charged the Box store. I don't remember about the Smith store. He charged them the money. They have the bill. Way easy.
Apparently, most people around were charging.
Yeah. Back in, times were hard, and Papa got in debt with Mr. Boggs, right smart bit. And he never would. He'd always, when Mama would send us out there to get something, he'd always send word back, tell you, Mama, I got so-and-so. And we owed him a good little bit. And we never did pay him off till my older sister, he finished high school and got a job, and my oldest brother, he got a job, and we paid him ever since we owed him.
And what were your sisters and brothers' names?
My oldest sister is Ruth. Mm-hmm. And my oldest brother is Glenn.
Al.
That's
one. Al, he lived in Clemson on Pelman Road, but I want to tell you about Ruth. She is only first child, you know. That is, Mama had a little girl, and she is 3 years old, or 2 or 3. She'd slip off from upstairs and go down to Mr. Smith's store, and she'd sing Little Mary Fagan for a whole bunch down there. They'd give her pennies and nickels and things. She'd Mama chair down there with her, well, they'd give her to sing that song, and she'd sing it for them, and it wasn't 2 or 3 years old. She'd slip and go down the stairs and go in that Smith store by herself and go in there and sing Little Mary Fagan song. And she'd do that, and they'd get nickels and pennies, you know, and they'd give her.
Let's come back to the store in just a minute, but let me ask you a couple of questions first about your sisters, Ruth and Mel. Obviously, musically inclined, did they take any music lessons?
Neither one of them did. They couldn't play a piano or nothing. Neither one of them, but they just, you know, she's just a kid, you know, and I guess.
Oldest sister Ruth, she could do anything a man could do. She was hay sold, we'd buy the leather, and Papa used to hay sold our shoes, and Ruth wanted to do it, and she took it over, and she could learn to sew, and she could just draw, any kind of draw, set you and draw you or anything. She's talented at that.
Did either of them do any type of fancy handwork like crochet or knitting? Or?
Neither one of them didn't take that up. My mama, she liked the embroidery and stuff like that.
Mama's side, now she crocheted good.
And you said Ruth got a job and helped pay off your bill at the box store.
Yeah.
What kind of work did she do?
DHR over here at the extension. We got a job over there. That's where Dennis Crawford worked over there, and a good many worked over there. And my other sister, she got a job over there too, and she helped out. And my oldest brother and Papa, they wasn't married then. They just out of high school and all, and they helped a lot then. Knowing we got even board back then.
Two sisters finished high school, and the youngest brother, he finished clumping over here, the youngest boy, Joe.
Well, what about clothes when you were growing up for the boys? First of all, you said often, particularly at school, you wore overalls. These were store-bought?
Yeah.
At the box store?
Yeah.
What about your sisters? Were their clothes store-bought?
No, they'd make all of them. Mom would make them.
Girls' clothes, you'd make them. Buy clothes at the store and make the girls' clothes. And like I say, my oldest sister, she got 12 years old.
She made our pants.
And she could make better dresses than Mama could.
She'd make our shirts and pants and just like you'd get them out of the store.
Yeah, she could make boys' pants and shirts and anything.
Did your mother make her own clothes too?
Yeah, she made all our clothes. She never did all the buying, and she'd buy the clothes and they'd make it.
Well, going back to the box store, you tell me, apparently Mr. Norman Boggs was fairly tolerant of your unpaid bill for a long time.
That's right.
Did he ever add any interest or penalty?
No, I don't think so.
And let you just keep on charging all
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, it just kept building up, and it got out of hand, and then there's 3 or 4 years that we owed him, I don't know how much, maybe $1,000 or $2,000, something like that. And he never did. Mr. Boggs always sold us stuff on credit. He didn't have enough money to pay him off each month, and he had doctor bills and drugstore bills, and in a period of two or three years or so, that grocery bill got out of hand.
So it makes you wonder how he ever made a
living.
He couldn't go out there, he'd want to buy more than what you'd want to come to get.
This is not as it can be.
Never did. Say a crossword, he'd always want to sell us more than what we get. Yeah.
Papa paid his bill up, paid him off, and got even with the board. We never did go in debt no more.
That's the reason I ain't never had nothing. I reckon I own that account, and Papa, after that, he never would buy anything unless he had the money to pay for it, and that's the way I am now. We ain't got the money to buy it, we don't buy it.
Could you get just about anything you wanted to buy at either the Smith or the Boggs store?
Yeah, he'd let us have anything out there that we'd want.
They'd say, yeah. Boggs had, yeah, shoes and everything.
Dry goods, clothes, everything.
You mentioned earlier the Martin store. Did you ever do any shopping over there?
No, we never did do no shopping there. Did.
How come, just because it was farther away? Or?
Farther away, I reckon. It wasn't all that far, but
okay,
he had all the Clemson business and everything.
Yeah.
Well, Rick Martin did his business, and the Clemson people were buying over.
He never did do a whole lot of business, and see, his wife run that thing for years. She lived for years after he died, back after World War II. Somebody got a hold of that thing, and they opened that thing up, and they had them old button shoes, and they had all that old-time stuff in there. There's old button shoes and all kind of shoes and things like that all was in there, and nobody could want nothing back that old then.
Them shoes was 30 years old.
Older than that.
No, for old stuff.
Now sell it.
Yeah, a lot of people bought it just for curiosity when they sold all that stuff out over in that Martin store, cleaned it out. A lot of people bought it. It's just brand new stuff, but it's so far back out of date that it looked funny.
Them old, yeah, them shoes are just pointed your finger there. Women's shoes is buttoned way up this high here, button shoes.
Was that Martin related to L.C. Martin from the drugstore?
I don't think so. I don't believe it was.
Well, the drugstore seems to have been a very popular place at the time.
Yeah, that is the main place for a lot of folks to go there. Folks would meet there because they had a serve Coca-Cola and thing. They had tables and chairs in there. And
sandwiches. Sandwiches there.
Ice cream and all that
kind
of
stuff. They had medicine there, and the thrift shop was in the back end, and they had everything handy there that people would meet there.
Peter McCollum, he's a millionaire. He got it out of there, I reckon.
Who was that?
Pickin' McCollum, that's the one that run it. I don't remember that.
Martin.
All I can remember is Pickin' McCollum.
Martin was there only a very few years before he died.
And Dr. Watson had his office right beside of Martin Drugstore. And all I can remember is Pickin' McCollum.
I understand that the drugstore used to carry your school books too.
Yeah, they carried that in the Clinton College. Bought all their books down there. I guess that's where he got the made his money at. Yeah, I believe you'd call him a millionaire if I got it figured right.
We've talked so far mostly about your time as children, but let's spend a few minutes on your post-World War II years. What kind of work have you done after your training at Pickens?
I took my school and training at Pickens. I got to work in the textile mill. I worked in the textile mill from then on to I was 53, I believe, when I left the textile mill. And I didn't do nothing like that. My mom was old, and I stayed here with her. And once after her, I got old enough to retire. It was about 10 years. 10 years in that, I did my work in home. Claude Gray, he was probably a maintenance man. He knew how to. He worked on gas stoves and refrigerators and air conditioners and all that stuff. Ray, he worked in the textile mill some and worked for mail carrier. His last year's job he had, last job Ray had.
Worked 10 or 12 years, when he worked?
Yeah, I'm retired.
Let's go back to your childhood then and see who were some of your favorite adults in town that you liked when you were kids.
I always when I was just a little young, and I'd like to sit and hear the grown folks talking. We'd go out to Bogger's store every night, and that's where everybody'd meet out there, all the older folks, and we'd sit there and listen to them talk.
We always thought a lot of Jolly Bennett. We always got along with him, and I guess he thought that smart of us. We thought a lot of him, we thought a lot of about all our neighbors, you know. We got along with them. Harris, we grew up with Harris.
Harris and the Crawfords.
And the Crawfords. We all grew up together. McIntyre's, they were somebody in a wheelchair in the one look out. Except them cheap buses. Not getting mad or nothing like that. We didn't. Just never did run across the right person I don't get. And when I got back out of service, all the girls I knew done got mad. And I don't know what I'd have mad none of them at that. So that's the way it been. But one year after the next, and then she gets so old, hasty about trying to find a woman in the
back. Calhoun always must have been much more appealing for girls growing up because they were all the fellows from Clemson.
That's their first choice. They'd want to get a college student.
Ray, same question for you. Were there any special adults in town you liked when you were a kid?
No, I got along with all of them. Not any special ones. Small town, and we knew everybody.
One of the areas in town that it seems to be that had a lot of coming and going was the Smith Hotel that my grandmother ran. There would always be people there from elsewhere. Did you ever hang around those people, talk to them, find out what their part of the world was like? Was it part of the world?
The only time we'd come in contact with them, they'd come down to Bogdan's store. That was a meeting place for everybody. And come down there and shoot the bull for an hour or two. That's all they had to do. Back then, there wasn't no radio, nothing like that. First radio we had was a battery radio again. Folks would come from everywhere and then just listen to the radio.
And there was a radio down at the Bog store?
No, we had it here.
You had one here?
Yeah.
And would you say there was one at the Bog store too?
No, he didn't have no radio out there. All they'd done was come out there and talk.
One time we'd go to Smith's Hotel and all,
but
Charlie stayed there, and we'd go by to get him, and he'd tell us we'd go hunting or something like that, and we'd meet out there and hunt with Charlie. That was after Mr. Smith died, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I believe it was. His grandmother, she lived on a good bit after his granddaddy died. I remember her well, you see.
I can remember him well myself.
I
he didn't die until 1935, wasn't it?
36. Yeah, 36.
And I was born in 22, you see, and I was 14 years old, or 15 when he died.
But you were talking about having a battery radio. Do you recall when you got that?
That's way back young.
You were what, just a very small boy?
Yeah,
6 or 7 years old, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So sometime before 1930.
Yeah. Just little fellas.
You were also talking about people shooting the bull down at the Bog store at night. How late did it stay open?
He'd try to close it by 9 or 10 o'clock. He'd try to get the folks out, you know, and folks get to talking to him. Sometimes he just hated to close up and all. And people like that, he didn't want to offend nobody. Sometimes he'd stay open till 10 o'clock before he closed.
That's when people was, they was in the store and all, and it wasn't warm and all, but in the summertime, he'd close up and they'd still stay out there and on that bench, sit out there talking, and they'd just want in and then they'd leave, you know, and finally the crowd would get, wouldn't be nobody there, and they'd break up.
What was that bench in the front of the store?
Bench in the front of the store, that bench that faced the store. People would sit on that and had
one or two.
Oh, that bench was about as long as me and that air conditioner over there. And
so about 7 or 8
sit feet. On that, and then they had the rocks around that to sit on, steps going into the store.
Did the Smith store stay open as late as the Bog?
I never did know it. He stay open that late. He always closed it up when he's running pretty early.
It was dark. About dark, didn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds like Mr. Boggs not only didn't get a lot of money, but that he had pretty long hours to put in, too.
He made good money out of that store. Wasn't no sales tax or nothing. Whatever he made was his, and he owned the store. Whatever he made was his. He had one fellow working for him, and he had a colored fellow delivered groceries, see that, and Mr. Crawford, Doc Crawford, he'd go around over in Clemson. known he'd take orders. And they'd come back and fill them orders, and they'd put them in that T-model truck and deliver the groceries to all the folks in Clinton.
Who was his delivery fellow?
It's Adjah Webb. Adjah Webb. He's dead now.
Died about 6 or 8 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
He was still older than I was. About 7 or 8 years, maybe 10.
And he quit work there. He worked for, when he started working for Mr. Boggs, he wasn't nothing, just a young boy. And he worked at all his life. So they quit going out and taking groceries. See, they had, the community store started up. Well, it was back in, but they'd still trade them. But they quit going around taking orders and all, and he never had all no need for a delivery man. And I had to quit there and went to work over here at this mill right across the river. Selfish mill is what it was back then.
He worked
there. Retired there, had your way up there.
Do you remember when the bog store closed up?
His daughter, Louise.
She'd run it a while after Mr. Bog died.
Yeah, she run it 2 or 3 years, I know of, after he died. She finally closed it up, and they... didn't there somebody else, Earl Ellison, didn't he run it a while, Ray? Tried to run it. He didn't run it long.
Steve went to work with a Clemson University, a Clemson college. She worked there, and I guess she was tired. Think like she opened that thing back up after she quit work for the college.
Yeah, she opened it up a while. And
yeah, run it 2 or 3 years after that.
Mostly cloth and stuff like that, what she had in it that last, but she didn't run it too long.
Let's go back one more time to the depot across the street. Has the depot always been in the same place as long as you can recall? And is the one that's there now the same building, or did they, I know it changed, was it remodeled, or did they tear the old one down and rebuild a brand new one?
That's the same one now. All they've done is kind of, they put that outside, it's just some kind of siding, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've been by that lately? There's some kind of siding on it.
Well, the weather board is always on it. When we were coming up, it was wood. And there's a well gap, and it had a tile roof on it, and we were chilling.
We'd get up on the play on that tile roof.
Huh?
I say, we'd go up on top of
it
and play on it.
We was kids, we'd get up on the boxcar and jump off of it. It wasn't about that wide. Top of that boxcar, top of the depot, and we'd get some of them tiles there, and then
they had a, back in, they had a, didn't have nothing but steam engine. They had a place there that they got water right there, right between Boggs' store and the depot. I don't know where you have, you can't remember that, though.
No, you know you can't remember that.
Did you ever ride on the train very much?
We'd ride a little big swing at that yard.
I rode a good little bit after I got grown. Got big enough and got it working, had money. A lot of times I'd go to Greenville and the shop over there, buy something, and ride the train over there and get what you're going to get and catch the train and come back in the same day.
Well, some of the neighborhood kids seem to like to hop on the train here and ride it down to the Seneca River on the Caboose River.
We used to swing on them up there.
And until they get fast enough and we'd have to get off. Or we'd go to Tomlin, you know, and we'd just swing on the steps of it, you know, and ride it. They get up enough speed, you know, and we'd always jump off of it before it'd get too fast where we couldn't jump off of it.
Somebody called us, seen us, turned us up to the railroad, and they told my papa, and he tore us up.
So was that the last time you did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do it. We didn't swing on the train no more after that.
He still thrashed me.
Up there, most of them are what's been living.
hold up until I served in the Army, and when I started back, that's the only time I ever had to speak with black.
Well, when you were going to school, it was an all-white school here.
Right,
did
right.
you either play with or swim or fish with any of the black fellows?
We played with the black children the whole time.
We played
marbling and football with them and everything.
Swim together?
Tell you more than we can tell you about Carolyn.